Welcome back to Channel 9 Live. I'm John Papa here, one of the cloud developer advocates with the Azure team. And now I've brought four other cloud developer advocates back with us to talk about what is a cloud developer advocate. But before we get there, why don't we go around the table and introduce ourselves?
Sure.
Brian?
My name is Brian Liston, developer advocate here at Azure.
Brian Peek, not to be confused with Brian Liston, also developer advocate here.
Bernd Fast, always mispronounced as being burned.
Shane Boyer, also cloud developer advocate.
It's awesome. And we should talk about what a cloud developer advocate is and kind of get into our backgrounds. We have very diverse backgrounds. And before we get there, let's explain to everybody kind of why this team exists and where we all are going with it. Because advocacy is a brand new team. It's a brand new org at Microsoft with Azure. And we were some of the first folks here. And we're hiring, right?
Are hiring, absolutely.
So what's your guys' take on what is a cloud developer advocate? Who wants to start?
I'll start. I think the easiest way for me to describe what we do is I want to go out and I talk to the communities. You know, we've all come from varying backgrounds. I mean, I'm at code camps. I'm at conferences. I'm talking to developers who are doing varying technologies, right? If it's Perl or PHP, C++, whatever it is. And I want to talk to them and help them do what they do. And do it on Azure, right? And talk about how do we get the 100-plus products that we have in Azure and take a piece of that and make it help their apps be cool in the cloud.
Absolutely.
If it's cognitive services, if it's Docker, if it's container service, if it's one of those things that they're attracted to, if they're looking at the keynotes and they're saying, hey, how do I get machine learning as a part of my application? We want to talk to them and help them get that feature into their application and do it in their language and
so basically we're here to exist to help other developers use Azure and have a good time doing it
not make them learn the language that is assumed to be working in Azure.
That's a great point, Shane. So we all work in different technologies, all five of us here, and there's others too. It's going to be a large team, right?
What's
your technology of choice?
.NET Core, and it could be TypeScript, it could be a number of things, but my focus is, .NET Core on Linux, on Mac OS, using VS Code, right? So if you're doing that language, come talk to me, hit me on Twitter, and I can help you use those tools and get that into Azure Functions or, whatever it is that you want to, that you're interested in doing.
Awesome.
It, right?
And Bernd, you work in a totally different technology area.
Yeah, totally.
How about that?
Yeah, I've mainly focused on Python, and especially am interested in the Linux and Mac development environments. And I'm very interested in container services and platform as a service models. And so that's kind of the area that I'm most excited about getting developers. Also equally excited about using cloud technology, and in particular Azure.
And where did you come from, Bernd? Because you're relatively new at Microsoft, right?
I worked on pretty much all the other clouds before in some capacity or another. So be it on the Google Cloud Platform team at some point or at startups where you use AWS. And most recently, working in the federal government building cloud.gov based on Cloud Foundry.
Wow. So Cloud Foundry, Google Cloud, now you're over with Azure. Have you done Heroku as well?
I've definitely used Heroku on my own as well.
Yeah. So you have done all the clouds.
Pretty much.
Awesome. And what's your focus?
It's very stormy in Bernd's life. There's a lot of clouds.
It is very stormy.
So I'm kind of a .NET, C++, gaming, emerging technology guy. So
you're the fun guy.
I'm the fun guy. So if you see a fun demo, it has something to do with Azure. I'm trying to get people excited about Azure by showing them what you can do with cognitive services, with Bot Framework, how you can integrate games and use Azure as the backend for your gaming platform for things like multiplayer or leaderboards or persistent storage. It's more than just enterprise apps and document databases and text boxes and fields.
They can be fun too, though. Let's be honest.
I suppose they can.
Are we all boring?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Shane. That's exactly what I'm saying. You guys are all boring. But no. It's just that there's a ton of stuff that you can do on Azure, and I think a lot of people hear Azure and they think, it's for enterprises, and that's all we can use it for. But there's a lot more to Azure.
Not even just business functions. There's a lot of different kind of things we can do.
Exactly. Shane was saying. I mean, there's over 100 services inside of Azure.
Yeah.
They run with Java, with Python.
Quick. Tell us all of them in alphabetical order.
Alphabetical, okay. I get it, you stay capital that way, yeah. But I mean, no one person can know all services on all platforms with all languages, all developer tools. So the goal here is let's divvy this up and we can be our experts in the things that we know that we can go help others on the platforms that they're using.
And Brian, second Brian.
Yep.
You have a completely different focus.
Yeah, it's probably not a great idea to have two Brians next to each other.
No, it's
getting a little confusing. But so my focus is primarily around Linux and open source and containers and getting everybody in the community excited and showing them the possibilities on using Azure. So I come from a very diverse background as well. I've been doing Linux and DevOps and development for the last 10, 15 years. I come from AWS. I'm a pretty new Microsoft employee. Mm-hmm. So building out a team to really show everybody out there what is capable. The investment that we here at Microsoft are doing in the open source community and, just the options that exist.
That's great. So you can see we've all got different backgrounds. Some of us relatively new to Microsoft. I used to work here and I came back recently. Shane's been here for a bit. Brian, 8 years now?
5 years full time, six years vendor. I've been here too long.
And
forever.
Aaron and Brian are both relatively new.
Yes, 8 days.
Microsoft world.
8 days.
From AWS and Google. Yeah. We're all coming together from different backgrounds. The cool thing I find about this group is I've been living in the open source JavaScript world for the last 5-6 years, pretty much full time. I haven't touched Windows or Visual Studio, and it's not that I don't like them. I just live in a different world. Mm-hmm. And the events I go to and the developers I talk to, they're all working on Macs, on terminal with CLI, using different tools like Heroku, DigitalOcean, et cetera.
Yep.
And now what's cool about this is I get to still use all the same things, go to the places that they work and live, eat the food they do, dress like they do, like yep. I have been, right?
Yep.
And just show them, okay, do the same things you're doing now, but here's how you could take advantage of an Azure service like Cosmos DB mm-hmm. or an Azure Function to do a solve a problem they already have.
Yep.
As opposed to in some places we've seen in the past, which is not our style, is to go in and say, yeah, you know what? Everything about you is great, except you have to change everything about you to
sure.
do Azure, yeah. which is totally not what we're saying, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So
options are abound.
What's your favorite feature of Azure, Shane, since you've been using this?
Yeah, I think right now there's a big push towards serverless is a really big feature. I think just looking at the keynote, that was a big focus. I think cognitive services is going to play a big part in that. I've been working with Docker a lot over the last couple of years, even
before. Yeah, we call you the Docker guy, right?
Yeah, even before joining Microsoft.
Yeah.
I worked at Disney, and we were doing some stuff with containers there. I think a lot of the big organizations are looking at microservices and moving towards that. Obviously, .NET Core is very focused on moving towards that microservices shift. So looking at enterprises and seeing how they can take their kind of monolithic applications, putting them into microservices, getting into containers, Azure Container Service is big, the registry is big, all those types of shifts and getting people to move towards those services is kind of a very interesting piece. And how do we put all those, just those five, I mean, that's five of the 100 plus that we have out there.
Right.
And believe me, that's more than enough to concentrate on. I think those are some of the bigger features for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to have an area to focus on that you kind of have passion about too, which is a cool part of this job, right?
Yeah.
You get to do what you enjoy, how you like it. And tell me something, like you guys have spoken with a lot of customers so far this week. What have you heard as far as feedback on using Azure that's kind of piqued your interest?
I talked to one person earlier this week who was a game developer, and he's doing a multiplayer online game. and he is using Azure Functions and Docker to build the persistent world that lives behind his game.
Very cool.
That's very cool.
And again, it's not something you necessarily think of that you would use Docker or Azure Functions for, but he was able to spin that up and save all the time of writing socket services and security and SSL and all these things that they kind of come for free.
People are getting very creative with
using Azure. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm super excited about Cosmos DB and using the graph features now.
Yeah.
And just after the conference, I'm going to hack together some cool app in Python for sure to see what can be done there. I mean, that keynote yesterday was pretty exciting.
That'll be great. And you're also going to an event right after this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to PyCon next week as well.
PyCon.
Representing Microsoft.
That's the big Python event for everybody.
Yeah, and actually, we even have several core contributors to Python working at Microsoft, so it's pretty exciting.
I didn't know that until we got here.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
For instance, Brad Cannon is a fantastic guy working on the data science tools team at Microsoft on things like Python tools for Visual Studio.
Python's a huge growing area. for everybody as well. And we also we should mention as well that we've got other areas of focus in the team. We have Java folks. Yep. Some of them are here as well because Java is a huge play on Azure. Is one of them over there? Hey, there's Brian. Brian Benz. Call out to him. We're a growing team. It seems like every day, just like JavaScript world, there's a new framework every day, right?
Yep. Yeah.
In this team, there's a new member every day, mm-hmm. I think, because we're hiring so fast. Recently, I hired a woman over in Dublin, Ireland, named Simona Coton. She's going to help us out with React and with Python. Bear and I work together on some of this stuff.
Our CI/CD team, you know, with Donovan.
Donovan Brown.
Donovan Brown.
Yep. Couldn't be here this week, but he's amazing. What's his catchphrase, Shane?
Rub some DevOps on it.
Rub some DevOps on it.
And I think, Donovan's, you know, awesome. It's funny. Maybe we should coin a little hashtag about, you know, rub some Azure on it, you know, because I think that's kind of what our job is, right?
Yeah.
Is to kind of take what you do and put a little Azure on it. You know, it is truly what we're trying to do. We're not trying to change your job. No, we're trying to change your language or change the tools that you work in. We're just trying to say, hey, look at what we offer from an Azure platform standpoint and take a slice of what we have to offer and put it into your app. I think, you know, Baron makes a good point. Cosmos is going to be a very big piece of what people are looking at. I haven't done a lot of database programming in the last couple of years. I've been focused very much on Docker and API, but looking at Cosmos and saying, hey, I can use Cosmos, connect my app to it, and if I'm happy using a Mongo API or, you know, some other API that makes me happy, you know, if it's DocumentDB, that's going to run in the back end. And I thought the part where during the keynote, hey, I need to run in these new regions and just click and say, hey, deploy my data there. I can't imagine trying to do that, you know, even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Was a humongous feat. So, and you're talking about, you know, what's attracted you. I'll ask you for the Angular community, for the JavaScript community, you know, what are some of the features that you think are going to be a big deal for you in that community?
Well, I think the first thing that's attracted me when I talk to folks is there's a lot of people who like to use data in the cloud. Especially in JavaScript world, like things like Firebase, for example, with Google. So Cosmos is a nice answer to start getting some of those folks to look at that. But more for me is Azure Functions right now. I see a huge play where a lot of things I've worked on were microservice-based. So I worked at a company where they had over 100 apps that had like 2 to 3 endpoints total, web API endpoints. And to set up a Node backend or ASP.NET backend just to handle a couple endpoints kind of feels heavy. Azure Functions a lot of times can be used for that because now I can set up the endpoint in the cloud, spin it up without a server. I know there's servers behind the scenes, but we call it serverless, right? And we spin it up and we can connect things. And as a front-end developer, you don't even have to worry about back-end. You don't have to learn Node or Java or .NET to do this. If you want to, you can, because we work in all those languages, or Python, right?
Right.
But you don't have to worry about setting up a server. You can just focus on the language.
Yep.
And I find that super attractive.
Let's people focus on building out their businesses easier.
And you know a little bit about serverless, right, Brian?
Just a little bit.
Wasn't that a podcast that you have? Do you still run that?
So that was my background previously at Amazon. So yes, I have quite a bit of serverless experience. It's been
they have a serverless platform too.
It's been interesting to see the community grow over the last year. It's a big community. It's a very friendly community. It's one of the things I like about it. Know a lot of the people here in Seattle that are a big part of it as well. And it's really fun to see it grow.
This is one interesting thing about our role too, is that while we are not only diverse in technology, we're also diverse around the world. In fact, on this team here, I think only one of us actually lives in Redmond, right?
Seattle proper, but yes.
Not even in Redmond, so yes. You're in Seattle itself.
Downtown.
And Brian, where do you live?
I live in New York. Upstate New York, let's not confuse that with the actual
city. Not New York. There's other places in New York, aren't
there? There are other places, yep. I live in one of them.
Two.
He lives in the one other city in New York.
That's correct, yep.
And Baron, where are you from?
San Francisco, although born and raised in Germany, so.
Down Silicon Valley area, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm in just north of Orlando, Florida.
Yep, and I also live in Orlando, so Shane and I are almost neighbors.
Almost neighbors.
Kind of near each other. But we're having people, as I mentioned, Simona is actually going to be living in London.
Yeah.
Very soon. And we've got Donovan, I think, is he in Austin?
He's in Texas somewhere. It's a big place, but he's in Texas.
Big place.
It's kind of a big state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're finding people in different places around the world. And what's cool to me about this job is not only the technology we get to work on, but I know something that got me excited was we get to work with other groups like Hour of Code or Girls Who Code or Women Who Code. Mm-hmm. So what's cool about that to me is we're going to be actually using time during work to help some of these other programs figure out how to use Azure and basically donating our time to do this.
Yep.
I mean, what are some of the programs you guys are interested in?
You know, one of the big things that's excited me since I've been on board is really seeing how committed we are to open source, right? Like the Azure CLI being open source and our Azure Docs being open source and being able to do pull requests against those and seeing how active the community is. I actually just tweeted out this morning how many merges that we've done on the Azure CLI in the last month and how many.
How many is that? And,
I believe it was over 293 commits in the last month and over 200 merges. I'd have to check exactly again. But it's just been amazing to see that and being able to share that with the community and show them how invested we are into it and taking feedback from the community and allowing other people to also submit ideas and submit changes that they want to, you know, make the Azure CLI better for them.
Yeah, I think the commitment to open source is a huge piece for me as well, especially living in the JavaScript, the Node worlds. Everything I do is open source. That's just how I roll. And what's cool is that working with some other teams now, like creating extensions for VS Code, Shane and I have done one to make it easier to write Azure functions in the JavaScript and Node communities. I expect we'll see more from our team on that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, I think one of the programs that I'm seeing more and more now as we get into the younger communities is certainly, I think the STEM community is very important. You know, they've got robotics, we've got all this IoT stuff. You know, I never even thought of even looking at that, and some of this IoT stuff is just kind of blows your mind a little bit, the capability that's out
there. Amazing what you can do. Like what in the keynote yesterday.
IoT Edge. Yeah, that was that was a big one for me. The IoT Edge and some of the cognitive services and Cosmos, that was fantastic to see that. I'm really excited to play around with some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just the STEM, the STEM labs, the STEM communities, there's a lot of these little incubator little programs right now that are having kids do summer programs and stuff like that. And there's the Minecraft labs, and we've got Minecraft education stuff out right now that I think there's a good opportunity to get into just more than an hour of code, right? And getting into these smaller places and being able to see what we can do to further those communities as well. It's exciting.
Yep. Related to this, I have to make a shout out for Azure Notebooks. So IPython Jupyter, Jupyter Notebooks. Great way for teaching computer science education, for learning, for playing around at notebooks.azure.com, I believe. You have this like, great environment where you immediately can really write some code and have it evaluated for free on Azure and share these notebooks with other people to share your code, your little learning sample snippets, whatever. And it's great for an educational setting. So,
Yeah, that's super great.
It's great. And some of these programs, in case some of you haven't heard of them, like Hour of Code, that's for helping out at schools. I know they usually do it like an hour every year in the fall or the winter, November, December. And we go to schools and you help teach a class how to code using some language. And they give you a variety of languages. And it's really age appropriate. Yep. Like I've done it for kindergartners with Scratch where they're dragging it around the screen, all the way up through 12th graders where I walk in a room and they're like, who is this guy? And within 5 minutes though, they're opening up and once they learn how they can hack the browser and do other different things, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing tool for sure. Yeah. I mean, seeing the new generation of students growing up and learning these technologies and having access to them, right? Like when we were younger, these technologies didn't exist. It was not as easy to build an application from scratch or build a large scale service and deliver it to people.
You didn't have, I'm holding your phone.
Yes.
This is his phone, by the way.
Yes.
I'm holding his phone because we didn't have Bash or CLI on a phone. And now we have that.
Or in a browser.
In a browser.
Or in a browser.
Yeah. That blew my mind yesterday.
That was great. I love seeing
Azure
CLI.
Awesome. My wife's going to love that I'm going to be at dinner, and I'm going to be typing in Azure CLI commands.
I don't know if she's going to love it. I don't know if she's going to love it. But it's a great option. You know, it's really fantastic to see it, especially in our docs portal, and being able to go into a quick start and instantly click on Bash console and have the console pop up and be able to run the Azure CLI right there from the browser. You don't have to worry about setting up PuTTY on your Windows machine or, you know, getting a terminal set up on your Mac. You can just instantly dive in and it really just gets rid of that friction for trying things out and getting your feet wet.
That's great because like in the JavaScript world, we have things like JS Bin or Plunkers or whatnot in the browser. You've got different REPLs.
Yes.
Now we've got a Bash command inside of a Chrome or Edge browser.
Yeah.
I mean,
fantastic.
that's going to make it so much easier to get started with these different quick starts.
Think about 10 years ago, right? I mean, how hard it was to, you know, get development going, do local testing, spin up a server anywhere, right? Like, you know, have to call a colo, order a server, you know, wait, you know, 2 or 3 days for that server to come online, and then you could start doing your delivery.
Even setting up tooling, right? I think that setting up any tooling right now, if you get into some friction setting up tooling, sometimes that will just nullify trying any experience.
Absolutely. Right? It's a big deterrent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Friction's a problem, right? We often see demos where it's awesome. We all want to be Scott Hanselman, right? We're up on stage and everything works and it's great. And, and he practices amazing, right? He's just awesome. But we all know that when we start with any technology, we have to figure out, okay, what tools I got to download, what things I need to install. Baron was helping me with installing Python the other day, and I had to make sure I had the right version and getting it set up.
Depending on the operating system as well,
right? Like Docker. Docker is the way to go. Containers. Dependencies are in there. It's going to run the
same. But even Docker now is another concept count, right?
Yeah.
So having a way to get started to make it easy, I just think is... it's phenomenal for getting up and running.
That's one of the reasons I love this industry is because it's ever growing. It's basically, you know, gears in a wheel, and we're constantly rotating and we're constantly developing and building new technologies that make it easier for people to do things and try out different things. New languages are coming out, you know, new tool sets are coming out, new frameworks are coming out, containers, Kubernetes, DCOS. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things are out there making it easier for people to build what their heart desires, right?
So I want to get one call out at least for all of us, because all of our teams, and there's others as well, if you mentioned like things for big data and security and IoT and emerging technology, which is Mr. Peak over here right now, the fun guy.
The fun guy.
That's going to be your new handle.
Or so he says.
I'm a mushroom.
Change your Twitter handle.
I'm a fun guy.
For those of you at Build, I want you to walk up to Brian and shake his hand and
which
say,
one?
He's the fun guy.
The fun guy.
The one who spells it correctly.
That argument again.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we should get a call out to, we are looking to hire still.
We are, absolutely, yes.
In all these areas and others around the world. And Brian, what are you looking for in an advocate? What makes an advocate?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm really looking for people who, you know, specialize, have a background in Linux, who love to engage with their audience. So if they are...
do they have to know how to code?
They don't have to. Be great. Obviously, you know, development's not necessarily a required skill specifically for this, but really looking for people who like to engage, build awesome demos, be able to deliver those demos, put them up on GitHub, open source them, and allow the community to instantly be able to see what you did, like here on Channel 9 or at a conference, and instantly be able to take that and make it real world in their account. And instantly be able to show that to their friends and their family and spread the gospel, if you will.
Yeah, and we do so many different things, right? So we get out and we speak a lot. But what about product feedback? I know, Baron, you've given quite a bit to the team on the Python efforts. Can you describe like what you do as an advocate to help the product be better?
I mean, really, naturally, I like to look at what the Python developers need and how do I make their experience as easy as possible on Azure, right? And then, in particular, drawing on my background from other tooling and other clouds and so on, how can I make Azure to be as smooth as possible, provide really the best experience there? So, fortunately, all of us have really good access to all the product and engineering teams and leadership within the company. So, we really can bring our own sort of mostly unbiased feedback from our past experience and use that and have the right access to improve the product. And
so feedback from the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the big selling points for our type of role is we have extremely high visibility. We have direct engagement with the product team. So we can take that feedback from the community, whether it's open source, whether it's specific products inside Azure that people want to see changes made in, and we can take that feedback and actually deliver it straight to the product teams and make sure that that gets invested.
It is a great way to go. So if you see us here or on Twitter or wherever else in the social world, touch us, talk to us, give us your feedback on how you're using Azure, the good things, the bad things. We can help be your channels, your advocates to everybody out there. And I think we have a question from the web as well. What about UWP with JavaScript, like WinJS? Remember the WinJS days, Mr.
Peak? I do remember the WinJS days.
I remember. I was at Microsoft when that was invented.
Yes.
But... will that be something that we actually use with advocacy?
I'm not a JavaScript guy. I would point that back to you, Mr. JavaScript.
Well, we've actually just, we don't use WinJS in the JavaScript world. Right. That's Windows specific as much. But UWP, we actually have a gentleman who comes from the UWP background who's joining our team very soon.
Oh.
Who has built quite a bit. I don't know if he is publicly announced yet, so I won't reveal his name. But he's amazing. So we're actually hiring in that area as well to work on things like Xamarin as well.
Absolutely.
And Shane, you have a sister group to the Xamarin group, the .NET.
Yeah, so the .NET team, it's run by Scott Cate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we basically we're doing everything .NET. So if you like Visual Studio, if you like .NET 4.6, if you like web forms, you know, if you're doing things like that, that would be the group that is involved. Visual Studio, VS Code, .NET Core, you know, WCF, you know, any of the .NET family type of technologies is gonna live within that group. And if you're doing it on Windows, you're doing it on Mac, you're doing it on Linux, containers. You know, if you're looking at .NET 2.0, which is in preview right now and should be rolling out across the Azure platform relatively soon, that team is going to be looking at doing that type of technology real soon.
Yeah. And we all work in different areas again. Like I pretty much live on a Mac alone, but I know you toggle between the Windows world and the Mac world. So there's actually a good question up here for you, Shane.
Yeah.
From Hassan. Where can I activate Azure Functions project types in Visual Studio 2017?
There was a post that was just put out this week. It's on the blogs, the Azure blogs right now. There's some additional tooling that you can download and install as an extension that they can have a new project type for Azure Functions and be able to, you know, right click and add new Azure Functions and put in there. Actually, Scott and I were just looking at that last night.
Right, I know we were just talking about this.
We were talking about that today, yeah. So you can do a pre-compiled .NET, a C# function. And
so stop me for a second.
Yeah.
Because this is fascinating to me. Pre-compiled function. I live in JavaScript. There is no.
Sure.
Why do we want to pre-compile a function?
It's going to speed up your startup time, right? So you do pay a little hit.
C#
And C#. So you'll pay a little bit of a hit as a startup time. So when you're doing a C# Azure function in the portal, it's got to do kind of a little compile before it warms up and starts. If you're doing a pre-compile function, you get past that little bit of a hit. You're uploading that assembly, it's in Azure Function, and you're pretty much ready to go.
That's
great.
Those
progressively get faster as we move towards the net standard.
And folks, thanks for coming on. I'm so glad to be working with you all. Most of us hadn't met until this week. Other than Peek and I, we seem to work at every job together.
Every job together. We just follow each other around. Yep.
But if any of you have any questions out there in the social Twitterverse, please contact us.
Yes.
Up on Twitter, and we're hiring.
We are. Reach out to me.
Thank you all for coming.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.